Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show with Baker Others.
It's a really, really good finish. I love goals like that on TalkSport 2.
Hello and welcome to TalkSport's Women's Football Show podcast. Don't forget, you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week, we're on Monday at 10 o'clock, so swipe across to TalkSport 2 to get your Monday fix, and you can listen in full then. The WSL was back after the international break, and we were treated to goals galore, not to mention a huge London derby. I caught up with the former Tottenham Hotspur captain, Jenna Scalacci, to break down all the action from the weekend. Let's start with Arsenal and that statement win over Chelsea at the Emirates in front of a record crowd in the WSL. 59,042 turning up despite the absolute piddling rain. Chelsea might be the defending champions, but it was Arsenal who took the win, putting four past Emma Hayes' side to go level on points with Chelsea at the top of the table. Beth Mead is on fire once again. She put Arsenal ahead in the eighth minute after a skillful finish into the bottom corner. Chelsea looked like they've got themselves right back into it, with some poor defending from Arsenal gave Johanna Wright and Canrid the equaliser, and then two quick goals in succession for Arsenal before half-time put the game almost out of reach. It was Amanda Ellisted coolly headed home a corner just minutes before Alessia Russo chipped the ball over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net. The Emirates was absolutely jumping, and it was Russo again after the break. She slotted home a 74th minute penalty after being fouled by keeper and Katrin Berger to give Arsenal a well-deserved 3 points. TalkSport's Charlotte Richardson spoke to Chelsea manager Emma Hayes at full time and asked her thoughts on the game.
They wanted it in such a way. They were first to everything, second to everything. I thought they thoroughly deserved to win, but they took their chances. I think if you want to be a top level team, and that's what our aim always is, you can't concede 3 goals from 4 chances in the first half. Second half, we're then chasing the game, so we're taking risks. Thought our attacking play was poor. In fact, I can't find a single positive other than the final whistle today.
You made a triple substitution at the break. I was just wondering at that point, was it the personnel that you wanted to tweak, or was it the game plan, or was it a bit of both?
I think when you want to commit a little bit higher up the pitch, we put players on that could go 1v1 defensively at the back. And had the athleticism to do that, knowing that we can also push up on one side. But it don't matter what you do, to be honest with you, as a coach. When the team is struggling to control the game in any way, shape or form, our turnover was high, it makes it a hard day for a coach. It was literally felt like a whole game, like we were forever just reactive to everything on the pitch. And I know our dressing room, they'd be massively disappointed today.
Has that ever happened to you, or certainly in recent times, as a Chelsea manager, where you've kind of sat there and stood there in the technical area and thought, this is just not a team that I recognise?
Connie Cup final.
So it's been a while.
So the challenge is to go on a similar run.
Finally, like you say, the team's going to be hurting in there. You've built a squad of winners. How long do you let that bruise, or do you pick them up straight away?
No, we'll be ready to go tomorrow. I wanted them, most importantly, to acknowledge the fans. That's not acceptable for our fans today, and our standards are much higher than that, so I felt it was important for them to acknowledge the fans. I won't say anything to them until tomorrow.
Emma Hayes there, understandably hurt after that result, and a brilliant interview from TalkSport's Charlotte Richardson just to get the details as to how her team will be feeling and what she does to go on from this. Jenna, she said it there, last time she watched a performance like that was the Conti Cup final. Of course it was at Selhurst Park, and it was a changed Arsenal side, as was that Arsenal side yesterday. But what happened to Chelsea out there? They're missing Millie Bright, they're missing Guro Wrighton, but they have a squad to do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the squad, the depth that they had, 100%. I mean, they just totally underperformed in every area. And I think Arsenal got their game plan spot on. I think the atmosphere there was electric. I mean, I've never heard a noise like that from start to finish. And I think that really spurred the Arsenal team on. But I think in every department, when Arsenal were counter-attacking, you know, that's one of their strengths. And they just got it spot on every single time. I think in the first half, obviously, those two quick goals probably killed the game off. And when you're going in 3-1 down against an Arsenal team, at the Emirates in front of 59,000, it's a huge, huge mountain to climb. And I think defensively, they looked so, so vulnerable. And you touched on Millie Bright. And I think we saw yesterday just how much she is missed across that back line. I think, you know, just her presence, that leadership, there's a few defensive errors there. And I think with her in the team, she just knows when to just clear the danger rather than playing out. And there were so many loose balls across the back line. I mean, you've got someone like Millie Bright, she just has that ability to recognise when to clear the line and put a team out of that pressure. But yeah, I think you've got to give credit to Arsenal. They were fantastic.
They were, and they got that game plan right. And, you know, Beth Mead had said at the end of the game, it's something that we have been working on. You're seeing it come into light in games, but yesterday we were able to just be clinical and get the job done. I wanted to, just before we move on and talk about Arsenal and Jonas Edeval, Lauren James, was she lucky to escape red? Because she absolutely put a foot on Leah Valti.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit naughty, wasn't it? I think when you watch it back, it looks worse. But yeah, I think she was very lucky to stay on the pitch. And then I think there was another incident actually with Katie McCabe, who's on a yellow, where she kind of shoulder barged Frank Kirby in the box. So I think she was also lucky that she didn't get found out, because she would have been off as well. So, but yeah, for Lauren James, you'd like to think she would have learned from the World Cup, but it was naughty. And I think it was intentional, and there was no apology afterwards, but she was just very lucky that it wasn't seen.
Absolutely. It's doing the rounds on social media this morning. It certainly looked at deliberate, and Katie McCabe doing her old Katie McCabe stuff when it comes to how she likes to play a game. Charlotte Richardson also spoke to Arsenal manager Jonas Edeval and asked him how pleased he was with the side's win.
From a performance perspective, I think it's our strongest performance so far this season. Especially I like the intensity that we start the game with, but also how we manage the ball and we sustain the attacks and we can counter-press them, and we basically don't allow them into any counter-attacking situations at all. That was really nice to see, us probably hitting the highs of our performances so far this season. And that leads to the result, so it's not the other way around. And that was good, very pleasing to see.
You mentioned it there, the start that the team made was so strong. What were your key points to the players ahead of kickoff on how to defeat the current champions this afternoon?
Well, of course, there are tactical things, and like which players do you want to have time in their team, and how do we set up positionally? But the main component for us was about intensity. And we know that we didn't even only want to match the intensity of Chelsea. We wanted them to be surprised by our intensity. And that has actually been one of our biggest focus in training here now for 2 days, to say, like, if training can prepare us in a way to play, so that would, the training will just be like a prolonging here of the match, then we have been successful. And I think the training culture has been phenomenal here lately at Arsenal Women, and that's what leads to these performances.
It felt like the tactical and technical were absolutely spot on, but the physical was just the proponent today that almost took the game away from Chelsea.
When I look back at it 2.5 seasons ago, I think sometimes it almost looked like Chelsea had an upper hand in the physical battle, where the Arsenal team probably always been the more technical, at most times being a little bit more astute tactical, but the physical component has been struggling. Yeah, so that's really pleasing to see, because these are players that play with a big Arsenal heart. You can see that they are willing to put their butts on the line to protect that ball and to work for their teammates in every situation, and that's what paid dividends.
Jonas Cedeval there, credit to his side and the job they did yesterday. Jenna, listening to that, I think the physicality is something we don't discuss often enough, and Arsenal could be seen sometimes as a little bit of a soft side, but that was the difference yesterday. They went all the way to Chelsea and they showed that physicality.
Yeah, and I think it is such a key component, especially in the WSL. It's a huge part of the game now, and I think you saw that. I think, you know, in seasons before, they maybe got a bit bullied on the pitch against Chelsea. But I mean, if anything, it was the other way around. And I think when you're not playing well, having that physicality is a real advantage. And then when you get it mixed with when all your team are on top form and everyone's hitting probably 10 out of 10 performances, they were unstoppable. And I think that was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and it makes the game far more enjoyable when we see that argy-bargy as well. let's talk about Manchester City defeating Aston Villa 2-1. Lauren Hemp scored a brace in just 4 minutes to give Man City an impressive comeback over Villa. Daniel Turner had given Villa the lead in the 7th minute with a sensational strike, flew over the shoulder and into the back of the net. But Lauren Hemp headed the ball back of the net twice in the second half to get City back to third in the WSL table to keep their title hopes alive. Jenna, fair play to Manchester City. You know, they've had a good run this season, but usually last season what we were seeing was Aston Villa finding that they could get the better of City, and it started well for Villa, but once again ended in defeat. That's a real problem for Carla Ward.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's another time this season that they've taken the lead and then just lost it in the second half. But I think, got to talk about that Dan Turner goal to start with. That was a sensational finish for a centre-back. But yeah, they just couldn't hold on. They were under a lot of pressure. And I think the goal came against the run of play. And then whatever Gareth Taylor said to them at half-time, I think Lauren Hemp in the second half, it was an absolute masterclass again from her. And then we just saw that Chloe Kelly-Hemp connection again, yeah, didn't we? The cross coming from out wide. Lauren Hemp just recognising when to tuck into that far post, and she did it for her first goal. And then the second goal was set piece, beautifully nodded down goal from header from Alex Greenwood across the goal, and it was almost an identical position. And I think Lauren Hemp could have got a couple more goals, actually. She really found her gears in that second half. But yeah, she's been fantastic for this Man City team, and I think it was such an important turnaround for them to keep breathing down the backs of Arsenal and Chelsea.
Definitely. And to the red half of Manchester. I went to Spurs, of course. I mean, we'll talk about that, Jenna. We touched on it there earlier, and I know you don't want to go there. But Tottenham nil, Manchester United 4. I must say, it was quite the result for Manchester United. Melvin Mallard picking up the brace and an assist, while Ella Toon and Hayley Ladd added goals of their own to take United's tally to 4. With that win, United also kept themselves within 4 points of Arsenal and Chelsea, and just about still in the title race. As for Tottenham, they are now winless in 5 WSL games, but they were boosted by the return of their captain Beth England, who made her first appearance after recovering from hip surgery. Jenna, inconsistent now for Manchester United, but that was one of those performances which showcased them at their best.
Yeah, I think especially in the second half, I thought the first half was quite an evenly battled game. I think Tottenham set up really well out of possession. They looked hard to beat, and they stopped Man United playing through the central areas, through Hayley Ladd. And I think the goal came I think it was our centre-backs just switched off for like a millisecond and then were punished with, it was a beautiful ball from Hannah Blundell, but it just shows you can't afford to switch off at all. And they go in at 1-0 down. And then I think the way Manchester United come out the second half, they adapted their style. They went a bit more direct, as you saw from the second goal, where it was just a route one ball into Mallard, and she's a lovely little dink over for Toon to score. But I don't think Tottenham ever really adapted to the way they changed their style of play in the second half. It was all a little bit too easy for Manchester United. They went up the gears, and I think if anything, Tottenham kind of just frizzled away. They were losing those first and second balls in midfield. I thought Hayley Ladd was fantastic for Manchester United, and yeah, I think Man United fully deserved the win. But just looking at the Tottenham team. I was thinking about yesterday. If you're looking at the squad that they had out yesterday compared to the beginning of the season when they were picking up those points and went on that unbeaten run, they've got Grace Clinton, obviously wasn't able to play yesterday. She's on loan from Manchester United. Drew Spence, who I think they missed terribly in that midfield, that experience. Olga Atanen and Eva Sumnen, they're the starting midfielders. Yeah. And I think they started so well because they had that consistent 11. And now we're seeing that depth isn't there because, you know, obviously you're missing a core part of your starting 11. So I think that's where they're struggling a bit. But I think as those players start to come back to full fitness, we'll see the turn in form. But a big bonus for Tottenham is having Beth England back and
absolutely
getting some minutes. Yeah, minutes in her legs and seeing her play with Martha Thomas as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's been an excellent few years for England's Lionesses. The last few years, we've seen them win the European Championship, reach the final of the World Cup, and win the inaugural Finalissima. But it is now being confirmed that next year the Lionesses will have a rare summer without competitive football after they failed to secure Team GB's qualification for Paris 2024 Olympics. Joe Shannon spoke to the manager, Serena Wiegmann, at full time.
Serena, thanks for talking to us. Appreciate it. What are your emotions at the moment after that?
Well, of course, I'm gutted. I thought we got there. And in the dying seconds, they scored. We had to wait for that. And yeah, well, I think we did our job. We played well. I think last Friday we showed lots of character, how we came back and how we played second half. Today, the first half, we really showed up. And I think the second half, too. And yeah, 6-0 is just a very good result. And the Netherlands got that good result, too, in the dying seconds. So yeah, that's very hard to take.
What can you possibly, if anything, really say to the players after a disappointment like that?
Yeah, well, I actually don't know what to say because we played really well. We gave everything we had. We beat Scotland with 6-0. We totally dominated the game. And this whole week, how we went into the next gear from last Friday, you know, coming back and then getting ready here and really going for it. I can only be proud of them. And the bigger picture, what we have done, the Euros, the World Cup, at the back of the World Cup, going straight into very competitive games in the Nations League, where you could see that moments that we played really well and moments we were a little bit struggling, which is, I think, is completely normal. But how we played this camp and this international break and what we performed, I can only be proud of the team.
Serena Wiegmann there, speaking about her Lionesses' performance against Scotland. I mean, it was incredible. They had to come out and win by 3 clear goals. They managed 6 goals. It could have been more. They did not stop, but it wasn't nearly enough. But it was an incredible performance, wasn't it, Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, how you win 6-0 with a performance like that and then suffer that heartbreak. I mean, football's just sometimes can be so cruel. And I think that was a prime example of it. I think when Lucy Bronze got that 93rd minute goal, you were like, I think everyone was, surely this is enough. But you know, Netherlands are a quality team, and I know they were being fed all the information from the sideline as well. And I mean, what a performance for them to get the two extra goals in added time as well. But yeah, you've got a feel for the players. But I think when you look at the whole Nations League in general, I think, you know, obviously the performance off the back of the World Cup weren't great. And that's ultimately where they've let themselves down. But yeah, I mean, you've got to give them credit. What I can understand that Wiegmann is speechless, because how often do you win 6-0? You get the job done. They double what they had to do and still knocked out.
I mean, Scotland captain Rachel Corsi was fuming at that press conference, being asked those questions, saying it's very, very disrespectful, which you can understand. Leanne Sanderson, former Lioness, was on co-commentary duty that night and spoke about how shocked she was that the competition organisers had allowed it, England and Scotland, to be in the same group, knowing that it could affect their Olympic qualification hopes.
I personally wouldn't want to be in this position that they're in tonight. I think it's kind of unfair to a certain degree that it's been put in this way, because people are putting, you know, questions to the players. And I know Rachel Corsi was getting quite frustrated. Those types of questions would be asked. But I don't think we've ever really seen a situation like this happen in the men's game before. So it's almost like unfathomable. I mean, I remember a few years ago when Leah Williamson had to go and take a penalty the next day. Do you remember that one? I mean, these things only seem to happen in women's football. You know, she had to go home, play for England under 19s, and went back the next day and had to take a penalty for England to win. It was like incredible. So, you know, I think this won't happen again. I know Serena Wiegmann hasn't really spoken a lot about this situation, but this can't happen again, Adrian. It's not good.
Because it makes a mockery of the situation, you know, that they're not getting these basic things, which seems basic. When we tell this story to people who maybe aren't women's football fans, they're like, really? They're in the same group? And they can take players from Scotland and Wales? How? How is that even possible? You know, that is Team GB, but to have to play each other is a really contradictory situation for the teams and the players to find themselves in. Also, what was incredible at the end of the Netherlands game, it was the final 2 minutes of stoppage time that Belgium had subbed their keeper. So they were 3-0 down, and then Belgium subbed the keeper. And that had people then going, hold on a minute, was it fixed then? The Netherlands then, they wanted the Netherlands to get that spot over Team GB or England, as it was, to get into the finals. It was a truly mad, mad situation and heartbreak for the Lionesses. You saw how much that would have meant to them.
I mean, yeah, and I think again, the fact that people would question that Belgium were trying to throw away the lead again is insulting. But I think at the end of the day, if you look at the whole tournament, I think going into the Nations League fixtures so soon after that World Cup heartbreak, I think it takes, and mentally, physically, I think the Lionesses have just been on this roller coaster since the Euros, and it's been incredible, and it's been full of ups, and it's just lived, you know, some of those highs that they've felt. So then come off the back of, you know, a devastating defeat in the World Cup final. I think that takes time to get over. And I think they came back and they were straight into club football, then straight into international football again. And I don't think they really got that break that they needed. Yep. So I completely understand why those performances weren't there early on. But I think in this last international window, we've seen the best of the Lionesses, and it's taken that time period to get there and for those players to find their form again.
The last round of WSL fixtures before Christmas will see Arsenal travel to Spurs in the much-anticipated North London derby. Ahead of that game, producers Bradley Hayden and Maya Graham went down to Spurs' training ground to chat to a few of the players on their thoughts ahead of the match.
For you, getting the opportunity to play at not only the men's home ground, but also what is viewed as one of the best stadiums in the world, what is that like?
Yeah, it's amazing. It is one of the best stadiums in the world. You know, they've done such a great job with it. And I think it's nice for us to be able to showcase, you know, what we're doing now as a team on, you know, kind of like the bigger stage of, you know, having more supporters there. And I think for us, getting the supporters in is the biggest thing. And, you know, putting on a good show and putting on a good game of football for everyone watching, so more fans come back, you know, in future.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we've played there a few pre-season friendlies, and I think during COVID, and it was no fans were allowed, and it was a bit strange in such a great stadium. But when the fans are in there, I think it's a great atmosphere that they provide. And I think as a player, sometimes you have to take a step back and think about that, because you're so in the zone when it comes to a game. You don't necessarily think about what's going on in and around the stadium, but actually when you take a minute to look at it, it's great. And what a stadium.
Love playing at the stadium, obviously. A chance to get our fans there as well, a lot of fans. But yeah, just playing on that pitch and the atmosphere of the whole occasion is just unbelievable.
Does it feel like this could be the season that you might get one over your local rivals next weekend?
I really hope so. You know, I think there's a really good aura of the club at the moment, men's, women's, and I think that's also a massive thing in how you play. I think, you know, you watch the men's and they're doing really well. You know, you watch us and we've got a new style, a new identity, and people want to watch it. And that's what we want. And hopefully, you know, we can bring that style to next week and give them a proper game, because that's what the North London derbies are about, right?
And that's all for this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with the Women's Football Show next Monday at 7 o'clock, where we'll round up the next round of group games in the Women's Champions League and the final round of WSL fixtures before Christmas.
Britain feels broken, but how do we fix it?
Westminster just doesn't seem to have the answers, but we have found some people who do.
Join me, journalist Becca Hudson.
And me, the former MP Ed Vasey, for How I'd Fix.
From the price of a pint to the housing crisis, this is the show where we take an alternative look at the problems plaguing the nation.
And hear practical solutions from those in the know. Catch new episodes of How I'd Fix wherever you get your podcasts. Rebuilding Britain starts here.